Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. I want to talk to you about a discerning and persevering person. Christians must adhere to and defend sound doctrine. Like no other time in these last days, we're called upon to contend for the faith. Jude verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. To contend for the faith doesn't mean to fight each other. It means to stand up for the faith. It means to be faithful to the faith, our Christian life, to walk and talk with Jesus, to put our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, to walk in the way of righteousness, to live for the Lord. We have to reject false teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2 begins by saying, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." As the word of God came in old time, not by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God, holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But even then there were false teachers among the people, even as there shall be false prophets and teachers among us, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. That's strong language from the Bible that says these heresies. Persecution comes to the church from the outside. Heresies come to the body of Christ from the inside. It will tear you apart from within. They will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. When you have someone who will go to the extreme of denying the Blessed One, the Lord, who bought them and paid for their redemption, this is indeed a critical and serious error of someone's ways. They can get so caught up, bound up, and involved to the point that they deny the Lord that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. When you make that decision and go across that line, God will see to it that he will be vindicated if he has to. Many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They will have followers after them. Beware of those who will try to get disciples after them to follow them. Paul warned about that. He said there will be those who will rise even among yourselves who will seek to get disciples after them. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Hypocritical and deceiving cover-up words. These words that cover up the real meaning. They are not seen as who they are until later. It's like a snake, you don't know he's there until he's bitten you. Spider bite. These feigned and covered up words, they make merchandise of you. They make merchandise of the gospel. They put the gospel out for sale. And the gospel is not for sale. The gospel is free. Salvation is free because the price has already been paid. Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not. It may seem like they're getting by, but they're not getting by. What they're trying to do, their damnation slumbereth not. And he gives several examples. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." These angels who sinned in the beginning, just because they were angels, they still had a decision to make. And those angels have made their decision, and the ones who are holy in the sight of God, of course they made their decision to remain true to God and to praise our Lord Jesus Christ and to protect him and protect the saints. Those who fail have made their decision, and God has even cast some of them in chains of darkness to be reserved to the judgment of that day. Then he says, "and spared not the old world." It's talking about the world in Noah's flood. "But saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We have the angels who fell. We have those who were in the old world before the flood as an example to show that God does not allow anyone to get by. You may think that you're getting by. It might look like you're getting by, but you're not. God will see to it that those who come to Him are saved. Those who refuse to serve Him will be judged. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or example unto those that should live ungodly. We have Sodom and Gomorrah for an ungodly lifestyle example. If God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for the lives that they were living, sinful, ungodliness, lewdness, filthiness that they were involved in, certainly He will not spare America just because she has stars and stripes, just because she has a big military, just because we have a bunch of lawmakers or lawbreakers, whichever way you want to look at it. That doesn't impress God. God will still see to it that His righteousness and holiness is vindicated. If He did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, He will not spare the nations of the world in our day. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It's just like living as a redeemed, saved person in the midst of the ungodliness that's going on in our day. Lot started out as righteous. He was Abraham's nephew, you know, and he started out righteous, but he did not end up righteous. He had no influence. He lost his influence. He lost his testimony. He lost his virtue. He lost everything. Ended up in a mountain in a cave, involved in incest with his daughters. That's where sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will lead you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Lot is a prime example of that. Oh, he got out of Sodom, all right. He didn't want to go. His wife didn't want to go. She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. He got out just by the skin of his teeth, and really by the mercy of Abraham. That's the only reason that God really had mercy on him, is because of Abraham and Abraham's love for God and his friendship with God. This man started out, Lot, started out righteous, but in seeing and hearing among those who are ungodly, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful and ungodly deeds. Just like living in this world today, we're bombarded by the wickedness and sin, ungodliness that's going on in our day. But thank God the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment, to be punished. God knows what He's doing. Keep on, my friend. You who belong to Christ, keep on serving God. Keep on looking up, as the old radio preacher used to say. Keep on looking up, beloved. Jesus could return at any moment. Living in light of Christ's return. In chapter 3, this is 2 Peter, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Y'all keep talking about the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, and trumpets will sound. All the dead will rise, righteous meet in the skies, glory to share. You keep talking about Jesus is coming. Where is the promise of His coming? They scoff and mockingly say, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. They don't realize that the Word of God, by the Word, the heavens were of old. God is the Creator. They don't realize that He made all things. By the Word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That is the way that God said, let the dry land appear. The world that then was being overflowed with water, this is talking about the flood again, it perished. That is, it was overthrown by a flood. But the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will not destroy the world any more through a flood. He will destroy it through fire, and we'll see that. The very elements melting with heat. The fire. You're talking about burning fire. It's almost like hell fire is burning on top of this earth. That's what it will be like. They don't realize when they scoff and make fun of those who say Jesus is coming. They don't realize what they're doing. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is not bound by time and economics and things like we are. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and yet 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we want Jesus to come quicker, let's get busier about the Father's business. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, like some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That's why he hasn't come yet. He's waiting on others to come like we did. He's waiting on others to repent like we did. He's waiting on others to get right with him like we did. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting on us to get the word of God out to as many as we can. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's that heat I was talking about. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All these things we work for and labor for and strive for and heap up and worry about. Shotguns and boats and houses and cars and highways and byways and all these things that we certainly have to deal with, but we get too enamored and too cumbered with, and we have to worry about the Capitol buildings and the laws and all these things, all these beautiful things that we see. All these things will be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If all these things are going to be done away with, how should we live our lives? What kind of conversation or behavior should we be involved in? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. These things are going to be burned up. Jesus is coming. He is coming soon, morning or night or noon. We know not the day or the hour. And he will come, and the judgment will come. Those who are right with God will be taken to him. Those who are not right with God will be judged by him. And these things that are in this world will be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we're looking for, that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Jesus is there. Our loved ones are there. All the holy saints will be gathered there, and we'll live there forever. So we should indeed contend for the faith. Jude talks about that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. It makes no doubt is who he is. He's a half-brother of Jesus, the brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. I'm writing to you. And he said, I wanted to write to you, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. I wanted to just write to you and praise God how wonderful it is to be saved and be right with God. But it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I wanted to just sit down with you a while and have a cup of coffee with you and tell you how good it is to be saved and be right with God. Look forward to being with Jesus and being in heaven. But I had to tell you something else in the meantime. we have to contend for the faith. We have to make sure that we not only have gotten right with God, but we are right with God, that we continue to stay right with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are evil forces and demons and devils out there. We have to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men, and God knows who they are. Sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals who they are, but there are certain men crept in unawares. They were coming in and people didn't know what they were doing. They just snuck in, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You see that word ordained, you think, oh, God did that. No, God didn't do it. They were ordained because of the evil one. They followed the evil one. They were ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They were hyper-grace. They turned the grace of God into lewdness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again, denying the Lord who bought them, denying God. You can start out by either knowing God or pretending to know God, and then end up actually denying the God that you said that you knew and served. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he spent all this time, the book of Jude, and we just read verse 17, but he spent all this time in the meanwhile, in between, telling us about the characteristics of these false prophets, these false teachers, ungodly sinners. They spoke the ungodly things against themselves, and they did all these ungodly deeds. You can find the word ungodly mentioned a lot in there. Reserved to darkness, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. All kind of things that were said to characterize these people, these kind of people. How that they told you, that is the apostles and our Lord himself, they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. There it is, ungodly again. These be they who are separate themselves. They separate themselves. They're not separated by the Lord, but they separate themselves. They try to look holier than thou art. Sensual. They're not spiritual. They're sensual. All about sensuality, sexuality, satisfying the flesh. Having not the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Does that mean praying in tongues? Most definitely. But you don't have to pray in tongues. You can pray in English and still pray in the Spirit. Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And now he tells us here in the book of Jude, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, build up yourself on your most holy faith, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't allow yourself to become bitter. Don't allow yourself to get involved in the things that are going on in this world. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And he gives us that. A discerning, persevering person will be discerning, will be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, will be watching and waiting for the coming of our Lord. Will be a persevering person. Keep on keeping on. Don't allow the things in the world and even the things in the church sometimes to get you discouraged where you'll quit on God, you'll quit on the Lord just in the time that he's coming. You'll give up. Blessed is that servant, Jesus said, when his Lord comes, shall find so doing. We'll be watching and waiting for him. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. A discerning and persevering person has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.